on Land Use. It is Monday, April 18, 2005, and we will open a work session on House Bill 3301. Committee, this bill does have a subsequent referral to the House General Government Committee. But we have an amendment to it, which is a very short amendment. When we first had the public hearing, the Eugene City Council opposed this bill, but you have a letter indicating that they are no longer opposed, and we have a representative from the City Council. Would you come forward, please, and just for the record, we'll put your city's change of position.
Chair Gillard, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jason Huser, Intergovernmental Relations Manager for the City of Eugene. And you are correct, you have a letter in front of you indicating a change in the city's position. After looking at the amendment and considering a local process that's about to begin, talking about a public safety district being formed by Lane County, I think we agreed that this is a technical fix. With this amendment, we have our say back at the table, and we're just going to go ahead and work out any additional concerns about the public safety district at the local level. So thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. Any questions?
Okay, great. Thank you.
So the chair would look for a motion to move the dash ones into 3301.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I'll make a motion to move the dash one amendments into House Bill 3301.
Representative Smith has moved the dash one amendments into House Bill 3301. Any objections? Seeing none, so done.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
I'll make a motion to move House Bill 3301 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the General Government Committee.
Now, Representative Smith has moved House Bill 3301 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the House General Government Committee. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Greenlick?
Aye.
Nolan?
Yes.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Gerard?
Chair votes aye. House Bill 3301, as amended, is moved to the House General Government Committee. And hopefully, Representative Farr, who ran the carry of this bill, will be still there. And we will close the work session on House Bill 3301 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2162. Let's see. We have, Representative Nolan has some dash four amendments, but we will also, to the surprise of the chair, give him some dash two amendments, which we have no knowledge of.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nova.
I am sponsoring the dash one amendment, not the dash four.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Smith.
I've been told that the dash twos have the incorrect number, so I'm not sure that there are dash two amendments to House Bill 2162.
Okay. That would make sense. That this is not the bill that they intended to have those amendments for. Okay. So we will not even consider what you have been given, committee, as a dash two amendment to 2162. Take it out of your folder. And we have some folks who want to speak on 2162. So we'll have Elon Hassan and Bob Rindy.
Mr. Chair, I wouldn't have to explain the dash.
Representative, would you like to explain your dash one amendment, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. This bill, we have to refer a little bit to history. 2 years ago in the 2003 session, the legislature passed a bill that would allow development in industrially zoned land outside UGBs and outside the Willamette Valley. and allowed that development only for a period that ends on January 2nd, 2006. Basically, a 2-3 year window for that kind of development. That law has been in effect since that time. There has been very little use of that law, and so the track record, frankly, is pretty sparse as to whether the bill that we passed 2 years ago is having its intended effect and whether it is having any unintended side effects. The original House Bill 2162 would remove that sunset and allow such development without time limit. My amendment instead extends the sunset for 4 years so that we would in fact have time to see if the changes that we made 2 years ago are having the beneficial effects that the legislature hoped that they would have and not having any unintended negative effects. So that's the purpose of the amendment.
Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and I'll be very brief. We have previously testified on this issue and indicated that LCDC has appointed a work group. LCDC has indicated strongly their intent to try and find a solution for the issue of intensity of industrial lands outside urban growth boundaries and several related issues that are concerning commercial and retail uses, sewer service to those uses, and the variety of circumstances around the state. Previously, Director Shetty indicated that we hoped that work group will come to a conclusion, and as such, we suggested an extension rather than a removal of the sunset. All this letter does is reiterate that. We still think it's a good idea to extend it. I haven't seen the dash ones yet, but it sounds like they're very similar. I also included on the back of this a letter from Hanley Jenkins, who chairs LCDC's work group, just describing for you the work of the group.
Very good. Any questions? Mr. Rindy? Seeing none, thank you, Bob.
I'm sorry, I do have a question just for the record.
Senator Mellon.
Thank you. Mr. Rindy, Director Shetterly's letter suggests a sunset extension to January 1, 2008. The amendment extends the provisions until 2010. Does that change your department's willingness to support this?
Representative Nolan, Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, I think it's in the same spirit of it. I would not want to venture an opinion without talking to Mr. Shetterly on this one. We did think long and hard about whether 4 years was necessary, because honestly, we really do think we will have a solution to this certainly by the end of the year. So that's our intent. In that regard, I think to extend this to 2010 would, in some respects, mean that whatever solution we come up with will probably not have any effect for several years. So that's why I'm hesitant to write off the bad endorses.
I would certainly, and I know the director knows this, but recommended the director that if he knows you have a legislative session coming up and that the issue will come to the attention of the legislature, that if he has committees out there, they should be urged to get their opinions in before the legislative session begins and not 6 months after.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Elon?
Thank you, Chair Gerard, members of the committee. My name is Elon Hassan for 1000 Friends of Oregon. We took a position on this bill when it first came up. We opposed the bill. To echo some of the things that LCDC said, we'd like to see the advisory committee finish up its findings to figure out where development would be most effective. The bill in its current form, we feel, will hurt some of the cities that have invested in development in their cities. This would allow for competition within a county rather than allowing the state to compete on a nationwide level.
Any questions?
I really have a tough time with Hertz Business to create an industrial zone because the business wants it. It hurts the cities. It doesn't hurt the business.
Fair point.
Thank you. Coach Slack and Harlan Levy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. And members of the committee, my name is Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. Here in support of House Bill 2162, and maybe most of you will recall my testimony at the previous hearing at this point. 2162 is a very narrow bill. It only deals with the sunset dealing with House Bill 2614, I believe, from last session at this point. And just to refresh your memories, this bill relates to planned and zoned, at the time the bill passed, planned and zoned industrial land outside the Willamette Valley. So it doesn't apply to any land in the Willamette Valley. And in fact, it doesn't apply. There are some buffer areas around cities in eastern Oregon and southern Oregon. So when this bill was created, we kind of carved out a little bit here and carved out a little bit there and carved out something else to provide some opportunities for industrial development and job creation in eastern and southern Oregon and maybe on the coast in some very limited situations at this point. When the bill passed, 2614 passed, there were some concerns that it might have unintended consequences and it might have maybe urban development outside urban growth boundaries. Because what it did is just remove the building size limitations that are currently in rule by LCDC. If you recall, it's only been used three times so far. So it hasn't been used a whole lot since its inception, but it is valuable. It is a valuable tool. So we still believe, since it is a valuable tool, that it has merit and we should continue it. That's why the bill was introduced. And we have not seen unintended consequences or any harm at this point with regard to the provisions of the bill. The one thing that has happened since that bill passed is Measure 37. And in some instances, this will remove somebody from filing a Measure 37 claim on industrial land because they are limited in the size of building that they could have. So there is, in some respects, some benefit from the bill in its limited application given Measure 37 claims, because if I have a Measure 37, if I qualify for a Measure 37 on industrial land, I could file and potentially have the provision waived. We do not believe that this bill will have any serious undesirable impacts should it be passed. There has been discussion about extension of the sunset rather than just making it part of the statute. I will share with you that that is not my druthers if I was to be asked. However, I will not object to an extension of the sunset as set forth in the Dash 1 amendments offered by Representative Nolan, should the committee wish to place the Dash 1 amendments into the bill. We think this is the bill should pass, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Slack? Thank you, Art. Harlan, can I ask you to hold on just for a second, because Representative Crummell is here, and we have Dash 2 amendments that he's offered to this bill, and we're quite confused, Representative. If you could come forward and...
Mr.
Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here on House Bill 2162, and I, too, am confused. I have been advised that actually the amendments should have been drafted for House Bill 2956, which is actually another bill that is in your committee here. But let me just, and I apologize for the mystification around this with regards to this amendment, and I wasn't sure when I read the amendment how it really related to House Bill 2162 either. But let me just say this. Excuse me. See if I can demystify this a little bit and move a little further. My concern about either one of these bills is that there's a golf course in my district. Actually, it's a little bit south of my district, but a lot of folks would love to see turned into industrial use. It sits right along I-5. It's called Langdon Farms. They're going to come and ask the city of Wilsonville for urban services if it gets approved that they can build industrial development there. And I can tell you several years ago when the idea of putting a golf course in at Langdon Farm, what is now Langdon Farm, was brought forward, everybody and their dog opposed it because it wasn't a farm use. And everybody was upset that there would be this commercial golf course use. And finally, after many years of wrangling and talking and negotiating, Langdon Farms was finally allowed to go in. Now, I would argue that Langdon Farms, where it is actually a good use. And in a farm zone is not really a long stretch. But if the idea behind our land use laws is that we want to protect our farmland and that we want to protect the valley from being one big city from Portland to Eugene, then bills like this ought to be rejected. Now, 2162 deals with outside the Willamette Valley, but it does say also with regards to and outside urban growth boundaries of cities. My only question then for legal counsel on that would be, is that outside of urban growth boundaries of cities outside of the Willamette Valley, or is that outside of urban growth boundaries of cities statewide? Because there is that distinction that needs to be made. And what I would argue is that if we're going to start allowing industrial use outside of cities, inside the Willamette Valley, and those sorts of things, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be setting the precedent. And then, you know, quite frankly, what we ought to do is just say screw it and let's just get rid of our land use laws the way they are. Because they have, quite frankly, been a barrier to development. They've been a barrier to job creation. They have been there's a lot of other negative things that we can say about the land use laws. And to a lot of us, and especially those of us that have been in local government, they were, quite frankly, a royal pain in the backside. So what I'm suggesting is that and I have not seen the -1 amendments to 2162, the amendments that I offered, the -2, it turns out were in error and should have been offered to 2956, and as I've just been looking at 2950, and I was advised of that as I walked in the door, as I'm looking at 2956, I'm not sure, and I can see how the two bills could be easily confused, but I'm not sure that either one of them really gets us to where it is that we're trying to get to. And it, like I said, depends on where we're trying to get to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
While it's another bill, Representative, do you want us to entertain the -2s into 2956 today? Because the bill is up to be heard next.
Certainly, Mr. Chair, I would be glad to have you entertain this amendment as part of 2956. I don't know how the chief clerk and legislative council is going to handle that, but whether that's something that they would like to do or not. But yes, I would, as I'm looking at 2956, I would not be at all.
discouraged if you wanted to entertain the amendments that we've actually given to 2162 to 2956.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Representative Greenman.
Yeah, I think if I could ask Representative Crump to look at 2956, I think it would achieve what you're trying to do, I believe, by not deleting what's on line 23 and 24. Is that right? Those amendments actually don't work because they have other language in them.
And that may be very, let's see, where are you?
I'm on 2956, deletes the requirement that this happened outside of the Willamette Valley, and I think what you want to do is to put that back in, is that?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
Is that?
Mr. Chair, do you want to open a work session on 2956?
No. Well, since we have
this discussion off until then.
We can do that when we get out of this bill. So perhaps that'll give Representative
Let me take a look at that, Mr. Chair. When you do open the hearing for 2956, I'll be glad to come back up and address that.
Thank you.
I'll step outside and look at that for.
We would appreciate you stepping outside.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Harlan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, senior staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, here again before you to testify in support of House Bill 2162, as it currently is written. I was in front of you back in January on this bill, and I told you that we supported the concept contained in this bill, and at that point that we would be bringing you another bill that was a little more comprehensive in scope. We did bring that bill forward. That was House Bill 2458, and you did pass that bill out of this committee, and ultimately it did pass on the House floor. I do appreciate that. But this bill is another bill that ties into the similar theme that you're seeing, and that is that we really need to step out of the way in some cases and allow economic development to happen, especially in rural Oregon. We've done a lot of different things to inhibit economic development from taking place in rural parts of the state, and as the timber jobs went away, we were unable to replace those jobs with anything. And you have many counties in Oregon that have seen double-digit unemployment for decades now, simply because there is no way to get jobs, to get industry into these areas. And our land use program should frankly not be one of those inhibitors. So that's the theme, I think, behind 2162, that I think is the theme behind the next bill that you're going to be hearing, as well as 2458, which you passed earlier in the session. One of the things I wanted a reference to was the work group that you've heard about. I do sit on that work group, and we have had two meetings thus far, but there's no guarantee that that work group is going to do anything. I mean, I have to be perfectly honest with you. There are such divergent interests on that group. There are some of us that would like to see these restrictions removed. There are others that would like to see more restrictions imposed. So this situation, as with many work groups, I mean, just the fact that it exists doesn't necessarily guarantee any particular outcome. And I wanted to add that this particular problem has existed since 1987, when the Supreme Court issued the Curry County decision. And it's only nearly 20 years later that we have a work group. And I think that's in part because of the bill that you passed in the last session, 2614, and that bill does contain the sunset, which 2162, the bill that is before you today, would remove. So just wanted you to keep that in mind if you do hear over and over again about this work group. There is no guarantee that that group will come to any consensus, nor any guarantee that it will solve this problem. And the problem is very real. Those of you that come from rural Oregon know that we need to get jobs back into the woods. And, you know, recycling land that has already been zoned and planned for industrial use, grandfathering it in and allowing it to create those jobs, those uses, seems like the most reasonable thing that this body could do. With that, I will conclude my testimony and be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Representative Nolan.
Thank you. Mr. Levy, would you oppose House Bill 2162 if it were amended with the -1 amendments?
Chair Garrod, Representative Nolan, yes, we would. We want to see that sunset removed entirely.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow.
So, Mr. Levy, you'd rather have a sunset that trips in 2006 than one that trips in 2010, because that would be the result. If we put the dash one amendments in the bill and the bill fails, we'd have the current law, which triggers a sunset January 1, 2006.
Chair Garrard, Representative Nolan, not necessarily, because you already did pass House Bill 2458, which removed the sunset entirely. Now, again, that bill is still in the Senate, pending Senate's action on it. However, we do not want to see any sunset. We think this issue, as the testimony you heard from Mr. Schlatt the last time, has created hundreds of jobs, will create hundreds more jobs. There's no reason for this bill to sunset. We think that this bill ought to be allowed to continue in perpetuity. And the Measure 37 situation, which Mr. Schlatt alluded to, is also another reason why there shouldn't be a sunset. You're going to be creating potential Measure 37 claims if the bill does sunset. Any time in the future, and a property owner is now faced with new restrictions on building size limits. So we would argue that that's another reason why there shouldn't be a sunset in this particular law.
Representative Greenman.
Let me see if I can understand, if I can follow up. Basically, since we passed the bill and it's gone to the Senate, you're saying this bill is redundant, we shouldn't bother with
Chair Garrard, Representative Greenlich, I'm not saying that, but in many ways it is, and it does follow with what we did in that other bill. It doesn't go as far. But remember, the other bill also addressed commercial lands and also reduced increased the population threshold around cities where the three-mile buffer would go, and that was in response to the situation in Umatilla County where you had the city of Hermiston rapidly approaching that 15,000 population threshold. So this bill is a smaller version of that other bill, which has already passed.
Representative?
Let me understand this. Let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say that other bill's having trouble in the Senate, as I understand it is. And let's say this bill would have trouble in the Senate without the expansion of the sunset, which I think it would. You'd still rather not have this bill with an extension of the sunset. That's the only way to get it through the Senate.
Chair Garrard, Representative Wheeler, I'd need to think about that. Still optimistic that we can get some action on the other bill.
Mr. Chair, I'd say if that's the way Mr. Levy feels, we ought to just sit on this bill for a while and see if the other one does move in the Senate.
Still
optimistic.
Mr. Stein?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2162 was submitted to the legislature on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties. The Association of Oregon Counties supports the bill. We do not object to the sunset that's in the dash one. We urge this committee to send this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the dash one. Thank you.
Any further question? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2162? We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2162 and open a work session on House Bill 2162. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2162.
Representative Nolan has moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 2062. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the dash ones are moved into 2162. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2162 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan has moved House Bill 2162 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ashman?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Freeman?
Aye.
Nolan?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Sumner?
No.
Chair Garrard?
chair votes no, the bill fails. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2162, open a public hearing on House Bill 2956. Do we have a list on that?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2956 is one which is structurally very similar to the previous bill, 2162. The main difference to this one is that it would eliminate the prohibition of lands, using lands within the Willamette Valley, thereby allowing for the development of abandoned mill sites which are located inside the Willamette Valley.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 people signed up to speak, and Representative Shoffler is here, and Representative Hunt, so we'll bring them forward. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome.
Mr. Chair, may I ask the Administrator a question?
Representative Greenwood.
Thank you. You say this is about abandoned mill sites. Can you help me with the language that talks about abandoned mill sites?
It doesn't use the exact words of abandoned mill sites, much like the biggest bill, but it authorizes industrial development in building, so it's structurally very similar, except it does not have the same exact abandoned mill site clause. I apologize for that.
Essentially, it can be anywhere.
This one could be anywhere, could be anywhere statewide.
Thank you.
Representative Shoffler, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a good staff and Representative Greenwood have pointed out, it could be anywhere in the state of Oregon. But in all likelihood, I'll just go to that right now. Nobody's going to build a big manufacturing plant or industry, strictly industry too, by the way, not commercial residential. And they're not going to put it out in the middle of nowhere, out in the woods. It's going to be where there's a workforce, hopefully an educated workforce, which we're working on too, where there's an infrastructure, where there's transportation, energy available, communication, water, sewer, all that stuff. In fact, I'm going to go right back to the beginning of what I came here for. You know, if all of a sudden we are becoming very flexible with land use in the state due to Measure 37, have you showed a little more flexibility? And I'm not saying I was any help of that 2 years ago, because I'll be quite frank with you, I wasn't. But we learned one way or the other in this process. Had we been more flexible in the past, we wouldn't be facing these issues. I really honestly believe that's true. We got stuck, you know, and we were rigid, and now we're paying for it. And if anybody in this building or state wants to blame what they feel is the destruction of our land use system in the state, well, they can blame Mr. Honeycutt if they want to. But you know what? There's enough blame going around for those that want to remain absolutely, completely rigid and thought that Senate Bill 100 and all those beautiful people it made were perfect, because, quite frankly, obviously, it's not. The majority of people involved in voting in the state don't believe it's perfect. We need to fund education, health care, and safety in the state. And we're not going to raise anybody's taxes to do it for a long, long time, if ever again. And I don't see, quite frankly, I don't see us changing our tax system in the state. So after agonizing over Measure 30, and by the way, I opposed Measure 37 for the record several times because I knew what I was going to lead to. After agonizing over this, I asked myself, how can we incent? You know, the only way we're going to get any more revenue in the state is to incent, attract, and retain investment in the state. And that's going to create jobs, and that's going to generate the revenue we need to medicate, educate, and incarcerate. That is all there is to it. There's no other way around it. That's how we're going to get it. Revenue isn't distributed in the state by a bunch of pixies in the middle of the night. It's through jobs, manufacturing, industry, agribusiness, power generation. That's how money is generated in this state. Make no mistake, not tourism, God bless it, I love it, that's not going to pull the load for us. So I really get kind of revved up, and if some of this is not germane to my bill, I apologize to you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm not saying anything.
I know. Thank you very much. I guess that's really what I wanted to talk about. That's my intention here. And I understand there has been some concern voiced by some folks that do tend to want to support things like this about exactly how far out away from urban growth boundaries we can go.
I'm going to look at it, be flexible myself, but in my opinion, nobody's going to take, go out in the middle of nowhere and build a huge industry when there's no infrastructure, no workforce there to staff it. There has been one example made that's in the Good Shares district. Well, I guess if people are concerned about where that industry is, I suggest they go ask the families that make a living there and see how they feel about it. If they like where that industry is, if they like that paycheck they get every week. So I'm just going to end right there and let my good colleague, who's far more articulate than I am, speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. I'm here to play the straight man for my colorful colleague from Happy Valley. If you look at the context of this bill, it doesn't come out of the blue. It really comes out of the last session of this legislature, where we passed, I believe it was originally House Bill 2689, it became House Bill 2614 by the end of the session, that allowed siting outside of the Willamette Valley of industrial sites. You'll recall that earlier this session, we took the sunset off of that, the bill that passed by the House, and added commercial sites to that as well. Again, still just outside the Willamette Valley. This bill takes that same standard from last session, industrial only, and applies it inside the Willamette Valley. So the standard that we applied our last session to the vast majority of our state is in this bill applied to the Willamette Valley as well. But not commercial, not residential, solely industrial. As I've been reading through a whole variety of documents that have come out of the Oregon Business Plan, that have come out of the Governor's Industrial Lands Task Force, that have come out of the Advisory Committee that was tasked to cite shovel-ready, market-ready industrial lands last session, again and again, it comes back that we do not have an adequate number of industrial lands identified within the UGBs within the Willamette Valley. You can look through in some of those quotations from those reports or hear in my report, or hear in my testimony. But again, it just finds that even though we're supposed to be finding a 20-year supply of industrial lands, those who are actually trying to site industrial sites within the UGBs are not finding the availability of those industrial lands to be there. As these reports indicate, many of the fastest growing areas of our state have not maintained an adequate supply of industrial land to meet the needs of a growing and prosperous state. If you look at the work that was done by that advisory committee that identified the 25 market-ready industrial sites, they found that many of the potential sites that they would have liked to include were unavailable because they were located outside urban growth boundaries. As you all know, expanding urban growth boundaries is a very costly, lengthy, often contentious process. And when we have an opportunity in this state to site industrial development, not commercial, not residential, but to site industrial development that's inside the Willamette Valley, that will create jobs and help sustain our economy, as my colleague has indicated, we have some real restrictions right now on where those sites can be located. Prospective employers that require industrial lands obviously are operating in many cases under very short time frames and specific and distinct land quality needs that must be met. We've got an opportunity in this bill, again, not to apply some wildly new standard, but to apply the same standard that we applied in 2003. Industrial lands outside of urban growth boundaries within the Willamette Valley. Just as we've said to the rest of the state, which some of you represent, where you already have the option to site industrial sites on certain lands outside of UGBs, this would apply that same standard within the Willamette Valley. I would like to close by noting this is not a mandate. This is not a free pass for industrial sites. If an employer comes, they can't automatically get a land sited, industrial development sited on an industrial land outside the UGB. This provides a tool that can be used by local government or cannot be used by local government. It's merely a tool, exactly like the bill last session was. It's one more tool in the toolkit to attract further industry, attract further jobs, and to strengthen our state. And I know that Representative Shopland and I are very open to any amendments that you, Mr. Chair, or committee may have or that may come forward in today's testimony.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Representative Greenlee.
Thank you, sir. We just went through the painful urban growth boundary expansion for industrial lands in Metro, which added several thousand acres of industrial land, looking at a variety of sites that were there. Is it your sense that there are some prime industrial sites out there that are not, do you have some examples of where some of those might be? At least, I'm most familiar with the metro area. I'm not sure about Lane County and Marion County.
Well, I'll say too right now, the good mayor from Wilsonville is going to point out Lane Wind Farms and the Stafford Triangle, right down I-5 and 205. Now that is a can of worms. I mean, it's like poking your head in a beehive. But you know what? It's there. It's where the transportation infrastructure is. It's where the communications are. It's where the workforce is. It's where our higher ed is. It's all up there. It's not out in the middle of nowhere. Now, if I could turn back the clock and make this state just like it was when Lewis and Clark came here, I would. You know what, folks? That's not what we're looking at, and that's not reality.
Mr. Chairman, I call.
Hey,
I don't think the suggestion that Metro adding several thousand acres for industrial sites and moving beyond that requires going back to the state as Lewis and Clark was. So the issue, if we get down, you know, if we can get out of the rhetoric and start talking about the reality, the real question is there were a lot of decisions made by Metro in looking at, for example, the Stafford Triangle was one of the options. So what we're suggesting here is Metro went through all that political problem to create that plan, selected, what, 8 sites out of 11 or something, didn't select 3 others, and now we as a legislator want to say, well, that process didn't make sense. Because the Stafford Triangle language plan wasn't included, then we should throw away the work that Metro did by act of the legislature? Is that?
Well, since I said, Mr. Chair, that's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlee, why might I respond to it? I think if you read through the Governor's Industrial Lands Task Force, you will see again, which was basically going along concurrently with the process of expanding the industrial land within the Portland Metro UGB. They say again and again, we do not have an adequate number, we do not have an adequate industrial land supply. I'm more familiar with Clackamas County. I know there are 200 industrial sites outside the UGB in Clackamas County alone. Not as familiar with Washington County, but I'm sure there's a similar number that could be quoted. This is not to throw out the work that was done by Metro. This is to give local governments one more tool, like Clackamas County, like Washington County, like Multnomah County, to give them one more tool that they can utilize in trying to attract industrial development. It's also important to remember this bill doesn't apply just to the Portland metro area, but to the whole Willamette Valley that was excluded by the legislation we passed 2 years ago.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Forever and for all time, this bill will be the pixie bill for me.
That's what I'm done today.
I really lean toward the concept you're talking about to open up more spaces and create more jobs. One of the concerns I would have is that we've been trying to spread industry out to Pendleton and to Bend and to Medford and to Roseburg and encourage more businesses to the site in those areas. How do you feel and respond to that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I think part of that will be through the enterprise zones that we've established around the state. Part of that will be, assuming that the Senate passes the bill that we have passed this session, that allows not only industrial development outside of the UGBs, outside of the Willamette Valley, but also commercial development. We'll still have two standards. We'll have industrial or commercial outside the Willamette Valley, or if this bill passes, industrial within the Willamette Valley. So I think there will still be a variety of incentives. But if you look at where, I mean, the overwhelming population of the state is settling, he is already here and it still continues to come. We've got a lot of people in the Willamette Valley that need industry, need jobs, and these are the good kind of traded sector jobs that we need to attract.
Mr. Chair, respond to that. You know, you're exactly right, and I think you're going to hear some stories about that very issue, and I've supported things this year that would do that, but it's more than just land use. It's siting power generation, it's water out of the Columbia, You know, we take far less than the states in the Columbia Basin do. Why we ever got there, I don't know. It's more than just this. But I also you can call it rhetoric if you want to, but you know, there's a real pattern emerges in our voting records in this building. And over the years, over the decades, I really honestly believe the people in the valley have literally lorded over those outside the valley. That's where the philosophy came from. That's where it's still coming from. And I'm tired of it. I represent a community in the Willamette Valley. I moved to Portland when I was 28 years old because it is a beautiful place. But the more and more you learn about it, the more I'm here, the more frustrated I get. And I don't see why we're going to have a land use system that's going to be one way here and one way not there. I mean, if it's okay for Pendleton, why not for Portland? If it's okay for Portland, why not Pendleton? I don't understand that, and I honestly, once again, think the rigidity, the rigid philosophy that we've painted ourselves into a corner with in this state has caused economic damage, and I don't want that to continue, because the only way we're going to get out of this revenue rut for long term is to get folks to invest in this state, create jobs, generate revenue, and we can do it. There's still going to be a boatload of environmental restrictions with air and water quality that, by the way, due to the lack of revenue, we're not going to be able to fund some of those monitoring things. In all likelihood, we won't be able to because we are in this situation. So I'm all for helping those folks out in hinterland, and there's a lot more we can do to help them.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Miller.
Thank you. Representative Hunt, you mentioned 200 sites in Clackamas County outside the urban growth boundary.
Right.
Can you tell us how many of those are served by adequate transportation infrastructure to support industrial uses?
Great question, Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan. If you look at these sites, they fall into a whole variety of categories. Some are very close to existing transportation, sewer, water. Some are, and you can just tell by the map, some are fairly far off. So certainly, it's hard for me to imagine some of them ever attracting industrial development, although perhaps the land is perfectly suited and that they don't need access to certain of those things. But I think you're right, if I'm correctly interpreting your assumption, that the sites that are most likely to be developed would be those that would be closer to that kind of infrastructure. Many of them are. I can get you a specific list for Clackamas County if you'd be interested in that.
Mr. Chair, my mayor representative responded to that. You know, the two I mentioned are close enough to those services, and the one out by Intel, we all heard about the story about how they wanted a piece of property, they couldn't because it was outside the urban growth boundary. It's all right there. And by the way, 12,000 acres out by Happy Valley, Damascus area, there is not adequate transportation infrastructure serving any of that property. So we're bypassing areas that have the infrastructure in place, bringing in the bulk of that urban growth boundary expansion was in the Damascus area. We do not have adequate transportation, any urban services that are adequate out there for any kind of expansion. So if that's going to be the measuring stick, well, I think this would help us get where we want to go there, as far as providing the services needed that would adequately service this kind of development.
You follow up, Mr. Chair?
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Thanks. Let's flip it around, Representative Hunt. How many industrial parcels exist within the urban growth boundary?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, again, I'm more familiar with Clackamas County. There are very few industrial sites within the UGB, and if you look at the acreage of those that there are, it's extremely limited, which has been part of the challenge. Now, the one big exception is the area in Damascus that has just been newly added. Without that addition, which is in obviously one part of the county, very, very few other areas of any size within the current UGB.
If I might, Mr. Chair and Representative Hunt, that's actually more to the point I'm trying to make, that you know something about Clackamas County, not so much about the rest of the metropolitan area. I would suggest that you probably don't know nearly as much about Wayne County or Marion County as you do about Clackamas County. And there are local planning commissions, locally elected officials in those counties and in those cities that know a great deal about what is needed and what's available in their area. And I'm concerned about the tendency of this legislation and legislation like it to substitute the legislature as a local planning commission in 36 counties and, I don't know the number, 150-some-odd cities. And I think we've got a pretty big agenda already and don't have the time to serve as a planning commission for all the local governments when there are elected officials who are capable of doing that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rowland, thank you for that point. I think it's largely addressed if you look at line 8 on the front page of the bill, where it talks about a county or its designee may authorize this development. So it's not authorizing the businesses to self-site themselves. It's giving a tool to the counties. And you're absolutely right. Some counties may say, we're good. We don't need additional development. We don't need additional jobs. Or we've got enough within UGB. I think there are others within the Willamette Valley that will utilize this as an additional tool.
Any further questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26, which includes Wilsonville, Shirley, and over to Gaston. With regards to House Bill 2956, and I alluded to in an earlier testimony, Mr. Chair, that the amendment that I had drafted for 2162 was actually for this bill. And I think Representative Greenlake has accurately pointed out that if lines 23 and 24 were basically reinserted back into House Bill 2956, then that would remove the objection that I most likely would have with the bill. And the reason is that I think as we're talking about the Willamette Valley, and I talked about earlier, if we're going to march down the valley, then let's do it in an organized way and have our cities take control of that. There's a couple of questions though about the bill in general that do come to mind, and I think maybe this will add to your deliberations, and maybe it won't. One is allowing industrial development outside of the UGB and inside the Willamette Valley. You know, let's face it, the reason why businesses are wanting to buy land outside the UGB is because with the urban growth boundary the way it is, what we have done is we have created an artificial inflation on land prices. We should have known that would be an unintended consequence in 1973, although none of us were here to, have this enlightened view. But over the last 33 years, that really is what has happened, is that we have, the land prices have inflated because we have drawn an imaginary line around every one of our cities. Another point that I would like to bring out is with regards to this, if we are going to have, and what was alluded to in the testimony that I just heard, is that we're going to have the cities or local government providing services. Now, I don't know that it's necessarily written in here, but I think that is the expectation of the authors of this proposed statute. Might want to talk to the cities about that as to whether or not they're going to be capable of doing that and whether they already have the infrastructure in place and what kind of a mandate we are placing on them to provide the infrastructure for land outside the UGB and how far outside the UGB is going to be palatable. There are, a statement was made earlier, 150 or so cities. We have 240 cities in the state of Oregon. There was also a comment about the difference between Langdon Farms and Stafford Triangle, and I stated very clearly when I was testifying on 2162, the primary reason why I am opposed to this is because I don't want to see the development on Langdon Farms. Years ago, when it was developed into a golf course, as I had mentioned earlier, it was that was a very hard-fought battle. Now let me allude to a little bit of the difference between Langdon Farms and the Stafford Triangle. In the Stafford Triangle, you have willing landowners sitting on raw land. You also have willing cities to serve the area, and you also have the area completely surrounded by urban growth boundary. It is a donut. And, or should I say, the donut goes around the Stafford Triangle, and it is the donut hole. And we have other bills that are dealing with annexation issues. And we're talking about island annexations, and we're talking about donuts. Stafford Triangle was probably the largest donut in the metropolitan area. I don't know of any, or donut hole. I suppose the largest donut hole. But it is surrounded by four cities. It's surrounded by Lake Oswego, Westland, Tualatin, and Wilsonville. So that entire area is surrounded. So that is the primary difference. When you look at Langdon Farms, it is about a mile away from the southern city limits of the city of Wilsonville. It is about 2.5 miles northeast of the city limits of Donald. And my calculations may be slightly off here, Mr. Chair. So there's not, and it is approximately a mile and a half to 2 miles west of the city of Aurora. So there is not a city directly around Langdon Farms that is going to serve it with urban services. That means either you're going to create a special district to serve the area with sewer and water, or you're going to dig wells in a critical water area, and you're going to have a big underground drain field. Now, if we want to go ahead and allow that kind of development to occur, then that's fine. Let's do that, but then let's go ahead and go in and start really removing the barriers to our businesses coming into the state. If we want to maintain some management of our growth, then what I would suggest is that really 2956 probably is not needed at all, nor is 2162. And I'll be glad to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Any questions for the representative? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we'll call forth a lady who's been a frequent visitor lately to this committee, Mayor Leanna Wilsonville and Linda Ludwig. They both come on. Trying to keep our cities together here.
Chair Garrard and members of the committee, my name is Charlotte Lehan. I am the mayor of the city of Wilsonville, and I see that we seem to be the center of the discussion here today. I hadn't really intended to discuss the nuts and bolts of, as Representative Nolan said, the planning issues at the local level to the degree that they've been discussed here, but I feel like I have to touch on a few of them. This is the third time that I've been before you in the last 2 weeks to discuss these issues, and I think it illustrates how concerned my constituents are about any number of these legislative attempts to either intentionally or incidentally open up the Willamette Valley to strip development down the length of I-5. And as has been pointed out, it is not just a matter of east versus west in terms of the state of rural Oregon that we would be pulling away from if we were to do that. If we as a state decide strip development down I-5 similar to Bellingham to Olympia strip development is what we want to do, it not only pulls away from the other part of the state, the more rural part of the state, it pulls away from my city and all the cities in Metro Joe, who have put hundreds of millions of dollars of infrastructure investment into their cities. And the year and a half of work that Metro and all of its cities and Impact went through to slog through where we should expand when we did the 20-year supply, which we just completed, post all of those reports from the Industrial Site, the Industrial Lands Committee, Metro approved, I forget, Representative Greenwick said how many thousands of acres, 4,000, between 4,000 and 5,000 additional acres. It puts at a disadvantage all of that effort, that 800 acres plus that are available in Wilsonville, actually 800 that just came in and another 500 that we already had available and served by infrastructure that we've put the investments in, the state of Oregon has put in. If we decide, no, we're now going to focus on land down the valley, then it leaves my lands, those investments, unrealized. It's the reason that my Chamber of Commerce has time and again taken a position opposed to development going south of the Willamette and down the valley. They have investments in industrial land that's currently available and much of it served, and they can't compete with cheap land somewhere else. What makes it cheap is that it's not so much that there is an artificial boundary, it's that it doesn't have any infrastructure. Land inside the boundary is worth more because it's served, or that's the notion of it. It's more easily served. And to say that places like Langdon Farms are easily served just belies all of the studies, the year and a half of work, the $30,000 that we spent on engineering studies to determine what the infrastructure costs would be to serve an industrial complex south of the river, and it came to something like $30 million. And any of you who have traveled Interstate 5, I presume a lot of you do, you know how vulnerable the boom bridge is that sits there. And it is very nearly at capacity. We've probably been stuck in stuck one side or the other of it and unable to get up and down the valley. That's a critical piece of infrastructure that we have to address. To suddenly open industrial lands so that counties could site industrial uses wherever is and then assume that the cities will provide the infrastructure is just upside down and backwards. It isn't going to get us where we want to go. Let me get back to a little bit of what I was going to say because I'm sidetracked here from all of this discussion. But
well, we keep poking you with this sharp stick.
There it is, you see. I'll just jump to the end here and say that if this committee feels that something must be done outside the Willamette Valley to spur economic development, then we are not opposed to this bill, as Representative Crummell suggested, taking out the line that was, or putting back in the exempting the Willamette Valley portion. We wouldn't oppose it, and we didn't speak against 2162 either. If this bill has in fact worked for rural communities outside the valley, and its only problem is that it's about to sunset, which is the 2162, then we don't have an objection. If your intention is to assure that industrial land is available in the valley, then the answer to that, to our limitations on industrial sites in the valley, is the lack of infrastructure or needing additional infrastructure to serve the lands that we already have available, and it is thousands of acres that are available, certainly in the Portland metro area, and the metro may tell you the same thing here. I'd be happy to get into the details of why Wilsonville and why the region decided against industrial expansion south of the Willamette River. But that's a planning commission, and this is not the job of the legislature to be doing.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Ms. Ludwig.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. I just want to leave you a couple of thoughts on this bill. This bill outside of the Willamette Valley was very close to the carbon copy of HB 2162, which the committee just heard and had a work session on. there was a lot of agreements that were undertaken last session to enable 2162 to come out of the legislative session, of which the League supported. The sky didn't fall when 2162 was passed. Certainly the three sites that have been cited since the inception of 2162 have only been positive in terms of statewide impacts. However, it was recognized at that time that same bill inside the Willamette Valley would have a lot more political implications. We recognize the parameters of this bill with land that is already planned and zoned as of January 1st, 2004 is narrow. I would question and would ask the committee perhaps to question how many parcels or acres would this really entail inside the Willamette Valley. What are we talking about here? I think it's something that would be good to know. Obviously, with that political question comes the overlay of Metro and their planning efforts and other larger planning jurisdictions that we have inside the Willamette Valley. And we have some concerns about that, and would have to say at this point in time, the bill as written, we would be opposed to it. But one last thing I would like to say, there are two issues that get in the way of siting industrial sites. Two issues. Number one, and this is number one, adequate infrastructure dollars. I want to say that again. In our state, the number one reason we don't have a lot of infrastructure sites is because we have inadequate infrastructure dollars, either private or statewide availability there. Second issue is the difficulty of expanding our UGB under our current system. But number one is our infrastructure dollars. So I hope as we move this issue forward and our knowledge of this issue, as we all collectively move it forward for our state and for our economic recovery, that we keep that in mind.
Any questions? Linda, let me ask you a question. There are numerous grants available to communities for infrastructure. Where would a community go for infrastructure if they wanted to create infrastructure? Where would they go for the money? Is it economic development money? Mayor, if you'd like to respond.
We go to Washington, D.C., and we go to MTIP and Metro and the state for mostly transportation dollars. This is what we're talking about. Occasionally you need things for sewer and water, but 80% is transportation. It costs a lot of money to build another bridge across the Willamette. It costs a lot of money to put in, we're like $4 billion short in the state for what ODOT estimates is the money that we need for adequate transportation dollars to bring our transportation system up to where it should be. So all of us are scrambling for roads to serve industrial areas adequately, because we're talking usually about trucking, certainly for us. We need to be able to service industrial sites with big trucks. These are a special kind of road facility that doesn't generally exist out in the county. It takes a lot of money to bring things up to that level. But there isn't a place to go. We all scramble, and then we have to match them. We have to match those funds, whatever we get, are usually by an equal amount at the local level. And I had another point I was going to make about that, but that slipped my mind. There it is.
Any further questions, Representative Miller?
Excuse me. I was going to say is what happens when you go out and you don't adequately finish the infrastructure investments you've made inside the boundary, and you go out into a greenfield and decide you're going to start over out there, is it's cheap to buy it, but it tends to shift the cost burden for that infrastructure onto future taxpayers and leave the ones you've half invested in unrealized. So it's a cost shift burden. It's not that the land is any cheaper. It's that you've shifted the cost of the infrastructure onto future taxpayers.
if I might.
Hello?
And I don't know if you would have this information, but it sounds like you know a lot about the transportation expansion funding that's available. You mentioned a $4 billion figure. At the current rate of investment, how many years would it take for us to finish that?
Are you asking me?
Any one of you who might venture a guess.
I have
no idea. We probably wouldn't be able to finish it within the next 5 years, though.
No, I shouldn't.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thank you.
Is John Hartsock here? Apparently not. Committee, we do have a letter with testimony of John Hartsock, Damascus City Council, in opposition to House Bill 2956. Thought I would mention that so you could put it into your file, and we'll ask Bob Rindy, Randy Tucker, and Elon Hassan to come forward. Mr. Hassan did put in some written testimony, and I suspect that's going to be what he wants to do, so it would just be Randy and Bob. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Randy Tucker, Metro Legislative Affairs Manager. Sorry, lost track of what my job was there for a second. I have appeared before you as well as the Land Use Review Committee during the interim on issues related to this general gaggle of bills, I guess would be, I'm not sure if that's the technical term for a batch of bills, but maybe it is. Having to do with industrial / commercial development outside of urban growth boundaries. I expressed during the interim to the Land Use Review Committee my concern that House Bill 2614, which did not affect the metro area, was nevertheless of concern because it looked like just the beginning. It started, you know, with only allowing industrial uses outside urban growth boundaries. They excluded the Willamette Valley and had a sunset. Now we've come in this session and we've got a bill that's already passed the House that does not affect Metro, and that I testified neutral on, just to be clear, includes commercial and lifts the sunset. And now here we are with the other shoe dropping, which brings last session's bill into the Willamette Valley, which is the primary concern of the Metro Council. This bill also appears, and I can't quite make my way through the drafting of the bill, but it appears to provide for a buffer outside the urban growth boundary of cities over 25,000, except for Metro, the Metropolitan Service District, where there is no buffer provided. Not that a buffer would change our position on the bill. As has been mentioned, the Metro Council in the region just went through a major effort to provide enough industrial land for the next 20 years, and as Mayor Lehan mentioned, that effort was completed after the completion of the Governor's Task Force's report indicating there was a shortage of land in the metro area. So we have now provided 20 years of land, of industrial land, I shouldn't say we, the Metro Council, in collaboration with the local governments of the metro region, have provided 20 years worth of land for industrial development in the region. The Metro Council has an interest in restricting urban scale, and that's what this bill is about, urban scale industrial and commercial development to lands that are within urban growth boundaries. Allowing this type of development outside of the growth boundaries drains public investment funds and reduces the incentives for more efficient development, and it blurs the distinction between urban and rural areas. You have a letter from John Hartsock from Damascus, as the chair has just mentioned. Damascus have provided for, in the expansion, meaning that brought in the land that is now the city of Damascus, the Metro Council provided for a substantial amount of industrial land, and without jobs in that community, the entire effort to urbanize that portion of the metro region is going to be severely undermined. And yet, the bill before you today will allow substantial amounts of industrial development to bleed outside the urban growth boundary and drain the vitality of communities inside the boundary, including the brand new city of Damascus that really needs jobs to succeed. As has been mentioned, this kind of development also places burdens on the infrastructure outside urban growth boundaries that is intended to serve rural levels of development, not urban levels of development. Allowing urban scale development in the valley, as opposed to outside the valley, in the Willamette Valley, that is, interferes with agricultural operations. The Willamette Valley has the top four and seven of the top 11 agricultural counties in the state. It's not a zone that is really conducive to scattered industrial facilities out amongst the farm zones, even though this land in question, this bill, is not zoned for agriculture. Just a couple more points. Prohibiting urban-scale industrial development outside urban growth boundaries is not the same as prohibiting all industrial development outside urban growth boundaries. These lands are there now. They are zoned for industrial development. It's just that they are zoned for industrial development at a rural scale, which is not the same as urban industrial development as the bill provides for facilities of any size and type. The idea that allowing this kind of development will create jobs is also, I think, subject to question. It's more likely that any development outside urban growth boundaries would simply displace jobs that might have otherwise been provided in a place that would be easier to serve, closer to the people that live in communities inside UGBs. They'd be less expensive to serve with infrastructure. I'd like to end by noting that one report that was not mentioned by Representative Hunt, it's the report that came out of the bill that passed in 2001 legislature, House Bill 3557, that did a study about the need for industrial land and for what the barriers were to industrial siting in the state. And that report very clearly said that the biggest problem in providing industrial sites in this state, as Ms. Ludwig also said, is not a shortage of land. It's a shortage of infrastructure to serve that land. It's a shortage of planning to get that land ready for development, etc. For all of those reasons, I would strongly urge you to oppose House Bill 2956, and yet, like Representative Crummell, if you removed lines 23 and 24 from the bill, we'd be okay with it.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Which would change the bill entirely, of course.
Right. Seeing no questions. Bob, can you hang on just for one moment in that one of our folks who'd like to testify has a 4 o'clock meeting in Portland, and I'm going to ask Joe Gilliam if he can come up and slide in between the two of you, and we'll allow him to give his testimony and then get to his meeting.
Am I?
Yeah. You're excused, Mr.
Thank you, sir.
Could you leave this for me?
I could have done myself first. Why would you read this part right here?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joe Gilliam, the Oregon Grocery Association, thank you for your kindness, Mr. Chair. Sorry to have to rush off. I was going to testify today just from a little different point of view that you've heard already today about what's good for a city if they've invested in something, trying to pull people into to market their services, and I think that's great for each city to do that or each county. But there's a broader consideration maybe from businesses than just, do I want to be in Wilsonville or do I want to be in Eugene or wherever it is that you might pick. Real-life example is Winco Distribution Center, and you all see it if you come between Portland and Salem every day right there in Woodburn. It's a very large facility, provides several hundred jobs, very high-paying jobs, by the way. Half of it is organized, Teamster truckers, the other half is employee-owned, and all those people have investment in the company and do quite well, actually. Winco is a perfect example of the type of employer you're trying to lure to Oregon. They're actually headquartered in Idaho, but built their distribution center in Woodburn. And it was a great victory for us to get them into our state, but we blew it in one way. We did not allow them to site their facility 1 hour south of where they are today. Because we didn't have the flexibility or no tools to say you could site it 1 hour south, we lost out on their expansion, 150 jobs of a warehouse that is now in Ceres, California. The reason the 1 hour made the difference, it wasn't necessarily just solely infrastructure or the beauty of Wilsonville or anything else, because Wilsonville, you couldn't sign it there. It's not the type of business. While Wilsonville's open for business, it's not open to all businesses. It couldn't site a warehouse facility like Winco or have expansion. but truckers can only drive so far. So for them to reach all their stores, had they been 1 hour south, we would have got the expansion that went into California, because they could have done it more efficiently in one distribution center right there. And Representative Sumner knows this, since he spent 35 years in the business. It does make a difference where you have that distribution. They lost all the efficiencies of being in one facility and distributing out of it. Now they have two facilities, main facilities. We lost out on a lot of jobs that would have come online in 2002, which we could have so needed. So as you look at this issue of how you decide which land you develop, what you don't, you need to take a careful look on how much flexibility can you give local jurisdictions to go through the process to make, to take these kinds of things into consideration. I'm not here to say, let's just open it up and create a McLaughlin Boulevard all the way from here to California. But I'm saying you need to give them flexibility to say, you know, this makes more sense in the future to let us site this distribution warehouse here than 1 hour north, because eventually we're going to have more jobs and things we want. So it's not just whether somebody's invested in their infrastructure or not. They could, Wilsonville is totally not even on the map for Winco to consider as far as a distribution center in terms of reaching the south end of the state, plus going into California where they're expanding.
Any questions? Representative Greenlick.
Yeah, I'm intrigued with that story. Hi.
Hi.
Is it, 1 hour south would have been Albany, or maybe further south, Eugene?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, it would have been Albany to Eugene area, someplace in, you know, in between there.
And neither Albany nor Eugene had industrial land available in there?
Not within their UGBs to do what the kind of, you've seen the size of the facility. It actually is a quarter mile long in one section where you can stand and look down the warehouse. It's a big facility. So they couldn't get decided. They had several parcels that could have accommodated their development, but were not, they weren't accessible through the process. They just couldn't do it. And so they went to Woodburn, which did have some, the land that you see there was available.
Can I just follow up? Was the problem raw land, or was it the other things that we've heard have been a problem? Permitting, infrastructure, other...
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, it was the permitting process of using that land. It was a land use issue of using some farmland that would have been turned into industrial for the distribution center. Now, in the big picture, what used to be farmland where we are today was turned into it. So you're trading a piece of farmland the same size in Woodburn for one that they needed in Albany. And there was no local flexibility or ability for them to say, oh, we'll give you this land instead of the one in Woodburn. It was strictly because of the way things were zoned at that time and available land to develop, they had to go to Woodburn. Had they had some type of tool, whether it's as this bill is written or some other thing that you craft, and a local jurisdiction said we can make some things available that would not otherwise be available, they could have put the facility an hour south, or maybe a little more. They have one small facility in just south of Roseburg, but it's limited also.
And Joe, one question. We have two main north-south arterials in this state, primarily in I-5 and 97. I'm assuming from your testimony that you feel having the Willamette Valley a portion of this bill is vitally important for distribution centers, that kind of
thing. Mr. Chair, I think you're going to have, it's always tough between the valuable farmland we have, and you all know how valuable it is in terms of its richness in soil, but you're also facing reality that your infrastructure system of transportation is I-5 or 84. And, you know, something you have to address the fact, how do you best use the areas closest to I-5? If you're trying, if your goal is to bring in jobs like a Lingo distribution center that are high paying, that are highly skilled type of jobs, you're going to have to say that's our resources, I-5, and where do you want to put those things? Now, do you say everything within a half mile I-5 is open for development? I don't think you take that step, but I think you have to say we've got to give some local jurisdictions the ability to have some flexibility. So if a company like Winco comes in and says, you know, we've got 250 jobs here, if you can get in this location, can you do it? And at least give them the opportunity to say yes or no. Right now, there's only one answer they can get, but no.
If it's outside the UGB, within the scope of this bill.
I've been waiting for 4 years to blame Glenn Jackson for something. That was the fellow who put I-5 on the western side instead of through Klamath Falls. Maybe we could somehow get a federal designation for 97. But thank you, Joe. I'm off the subject. I appreciate your comment. Any further comments of Mr. Gillis?
I'm off the subject.
Bob?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Bob Randy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I'll be very brief because I think we've previously, on a couple other bills, indicated the same testimony that I've got here. I do want to point out that there might be some misunderstanding what this bill does. I was very closely involved in the bill last session that we're talking about amending here. This is about lands that are already designated industrial outside urban growth boundaries. And so we shouldn't be thinking that this is going to affect any other land, whether it's Langham Farms, which is not, to my understanding, currently designated industrial or anything else. It is only about the areas that are already designated. It does not also relate to mill sites, and we heard some discussion earlier about mill sites, and some others talked about jobs in the woods. That was a different bill last session. It has no sunset. It authorizes abandoned mill sites to be developed with industrial of any size throughout the state, and it's not a subject of this particular legislation because this only refers to a second bill that was only about lands already designated industrial. And then finally, I think you'll hear later, and perhaps even today, that we are working, we've worked all session with Tom Gallagher, trying to get a lot of different interests together on a proposal to deal with things such as Winco. I mean, Winco's got 250 jobs. It's I know it has about 1 million square feet. It's a very special kind of large facility that would have been difficult for many cities to have predicted that particular need and provided a site of that nature. And as such, what we've been talking about with Mr. Gallagher is some sort of bill that would allow the state to move more quickly in amended urban growth boundaries, such as Woodburn did, in the event of a new, what we've called a bird in hand, or something that nobody would have predicted that wants to make use of some available infrastructure, such as along I-5, and that in that case, that was exactly the case. So we do hope to continue this discussion when something comes forward from Mr. Gallagher. With that, I'll conclude, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Any questions of Mr. Rendon? Representative Greenwood.
A brief one. I'm not sure I understand why a county could not zone something industrial 3 years from now and then use this to site on that industrial.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenwood, I'm looking at line 12. This is applicable to lands planning zone for industrial in January 1st, 2004, which was the effective date of last session's legislation.
Bob, I know there's another comment in the letter you submitted to the committee from Director Shetterly that says the department is committed to resolving these issues through the current work group effort and requesting the committee to allow this effort to continue. I guess I would be asking you to take the message back to Mr. Shetterly. This is part of the problem that we've had in the past. We don't, this is my own personal feeling, I think Langell is doing a fine job and is getting things moving in the right direction. But for too long, we waited for reports from work groups that never did find its way to the legislature. And we're a bunch of people that, like, we only have a limited window to make things happen. And we'd like to make something happen in this session in this area. So that's why I can't say that we're going to agree with the director's request in this regard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Harlan? Harlan Levy? That's the final person we have to testify in this bill committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, Senior Staff Attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, here to testify in support of House Bill 2956, and I wanted to thank the sponsors for bringing this bill out to you today, and thank the Chair for holding this hearing. I don't want to reiterate the testimony that you've heard previously from me on the last bill and on other bills that you've heard this session. I just wanted to go into some of the background that resulted in this bill and the other bills that have been introduced like it this session. What we are dealing with here is a situation where building size limitations were being imposed by the state DLCD through periodic review on counties. And all that this bill and the other bills like it do is say that has to stop. It says that the counties have the authority to site the buildings and decide what size buildings they think is appropriate for these industrial lands. And again, I want to thank Mr. Rooney for pointing it out to you that this is land that is already planned and zoned industrial. You cannot do this on land and farms. You cannot do this on any farm or forest land in the state of Oregon. This bill is only applicable to those lands that are already planned and zoned for that use. It is a grandfathering of these lands. And again, what we're doing here is returning the authority to the county commissioners to decide what they think fits best in their counties, taking this power away from the bureaucracy here in Salem and returning it to the county commissioners. That is all that this bill and the other bills like it do. Now, this bill has a different geographic scope in that it applies statewide. Other bills that you heard apply outside of the Willamette Valley. Also wanted to point out that nothing in this bill requires any particular outcome. The counties that are subject to this bill, in this case all 36 of them, could choose to site buildings of whatever size they deem appropriate, subject to the limitations of you cannot extend sewer, subject to the existing limitations of the road infrastructure and other limitations that are still going to be in play, not to mention the market itself. But subject to those limitations, these county commissioners would then be able to authorize a development permit for whatever building size they deemed appropriate. However, they could decide that a 3,500 square foot building is all they want to authorize. And that would be fine. It is a permissive bill 100% of the way. So if a particular county did not want to have large-scale buildings in its rural industrial zones, it would still be able to adopt a building size limitation of whatever size it deemed appropriate in its code. This bill merely provides an opportunity, does not require a particular outcome. There was some testimony earlier about the difficulty of expanding urban growth boundaries. That is exactly the point. We have a situation in this state where it's very tough to move an urban growth boundary, and this type of bill becomes a response, a natural response. How do we allow for some of these beneficial uses that we want on these lands? Well, you need to allow them on those lands outside of cities that are already zoned and planned for these uses. Finally, I wanted to bring up an example of a gentleman that testified in the last legislative session on one of these bills, and I know that Representative Hunt did contact him. He was unable to appear today, but he was a gentleman from the Springfield, Eugene area, and he was a gentleman that was running a business on one of these rural industrial lands, and he was outside of the urban growth boundary of Eugene Springfield, and he was doing something with motorcycles. I don't remember all the details, but nonetheless, he needed a bigger building than he was authorized to build by Lane County because of the periodic review that Lane County was in with DLCD. So he came all the way to Salem last session to testify to this committee. Now, this is a gentleman inside of the Willamette Valley that wanted to continue and expand his current business and was finding it very difficult to do that. So, with that, I will I'll close my testimony and be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions, Mr. Levy? Seeing none, thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2956? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2956, and seeing no further business in front of the committee, we will adjourn.